Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. If you listen to SDPB carefully, you've perhaps noticed recent NPR news stories about pregnant women. Because of ethics guidelines, pregnant women are typically excluded from participating in medical research, but that doesn't exclude them from medical complications, which often have doctors prescribing bed rest for moms-to-be. But what does the research say about the benefits of bed rest, and why are some doctors rethinking telling women to stay home and stay still? Today, we talk with a local expert about navigating shifting guidelines for bed rest and what to make of innovations in healthcare for expecting mothers. Dr. Allison Suttle is Sanford's chief medical officer, and she joins us on the phone now. Dr. Suttle, welcome to In the Moment. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
So one of the things that when we heard some of these stories on NPR in the past week or two, I immediately wanted to find out what was missing from some of the stories, because people were talking about nationwide really reconsidering the ideas of bed rest. Is this something that's been on your radar as well?
You know, absolutely. I think bed rest, we're learning more and more about it over the years as we've had more women on it, and there are some significant consequences of being on long-term bed rest. In addition, women are oftentimes either single parents or the major breadwinners, or certainly part of that workforce. Which is a change from many years ago when that wasn't the case. So there's financial implications as well, not just healthcare implications for these women that are put on bed rest.
And some women might just not want to be on bed rest, and that matters too. Although certainly they don't want to put their child or their health at risk, maybe there's some underlying assumptions about everybody wants to go take a couple weeks off, right? Well, maybe not.
I wouldn't call being put on bed rest easy by any stretch of the imagination. It is really taxing on the family. There are a lot of reasons for bed rest in pregnancy, and I think, you know, that NPR article and show and other things we've been reading about, some of the reasons are really necessary. So some high blood pressure, or if there's some early bleeding, some of those things, or rupture of membranes early, those might cause you to be on bed rest for very short durations, and those are necessary, and I think those are proven to be helpful. I think it's the long-term bed rest for months and months, just to prevent preterm delivery or prevent a miscarriage, is where you can see some of the complications and some of the controversy on how much is it a benefit.
What are some of the challenges, if you could expand on that, of not knowing things about, the impacts of a blood pressure medication, for example, or certain drugs or certain treatments on pregnant women or their unborn children?
Yeah, no, it really is a conundrum because, we don't want to put any single pregnancy at risk, and yet if we don't study certain things in pregnancy, we can't advance our science and get better at taking care of pregnancy. So we do the best we can with other models and try to bring only those kind of innovations or technologies to bear when we know a high likelihood that it's not causing complications. But we always want to continue to study after. So after we've implemented something, a new blood pressure medication, like you say, or a new technology or innovation, we need to keep studying it to make sure there aren't any unintended consequences or side effects that we didn't detect before we brought it to a pregnancy trial. So it's a risk and balance. I think we want to have advancement, and yet we don't want to cause any harm as we learn about those advancements.
Are there pregnancy trials?
Oh, yes, there definitely are pregnancy trials, and I think there's other ways to do things that are more retrospective, to look back and see how did that go in the pregnancy, as opposed to we're going to put someone on a new medication. Sometimes it's we found out after the fact that they were on the medication, kind of an unintended, they didn't know they were pregnant yet. So there are different ways to gather data based on populations and how there is exposure to medications, et cetera.
Let's talk a little bit about women who have a condition before getting pregnant and are considering what they have, and then maybe a little bit about women who have, you know, an unexpected, a major illness, a car accident, mm-hmm. or cancer, or, you know, a heart condition. So first, you know, women going into sort of planning for pregnancy, and the best case scenario, you know you're going to get pregnant and you know what you already have. What kind of conversations should you have with your doctor if you're, you know, asthmatic or diabetic or, you know, other conditions that might make a difference?
Yeah, you know, I think it's so important to have those conversations in advance just to learn all the possible implications of what that pregnancy could do for you and your own health and how it could alter your disease or alter your quality of life, and then how it could impact the pregnancy. Would it mean an early delivery? Would it mean bed rest? Would it mean a change in your medications? Too often we think that there's the pregnancy, which is very separate from me as an individual, and that the two don't interact, and they really do. So a great conversation with a physician, knowing all the facts in terms of what would change for me and how would it impact my overall livelihood, and then how would it impact the pregnancy and the baby, and what would that mean for a pregnancy and a delivery, and what would be the risks to the baby, would be a great conversation to have. I know physicians oftentimes would get specialists involved in advance, maybe some consultations for further conversation, and potentially prior to pregnancy, change a medication so that we're not doing it during a pregnancy. So there might even be some changes that you'd need to make before pregnancy to get yourself really kind of geared up and ready to go and in the optimal state so that you're ready for pregnancy.
And then how about once you are pregnant, those surprise diagnoses? Because some women, you know, at the age of childbirth or pregnancy, they maybe haven't gone to the doctor a lot. Mm-hmm. There might be mm-hmm. new things that you're discovered just because you happen to be in the doctor's office more often and paying a lot more attention mm-hmm. to your health.
Yeah, and certainly the pregnancy puts a stress on the body that could cause some of those conditions that might not have been known to come to the forefront. So that's exactly right. Certainly things do pop up when you're pregnant. You know, I think if you're followed closely with a midwife or a family physician or an obstetrician, they're going to key into what those are and then either be able to take care of it with adding a medication, knowing what safe in pregnancy and what isn't, or getting you referred to a specialist. I think when things get maybe more interesting or more concerning is things like a cancer diagnosis that's made in pregnancy or a car accident, those sorts of things that cause the need for a surgery. Those can be very tricky and often get lots of people involved, from the pediatrician to a specialist in high-risk pregnancies to the family physician and the obstetrician, to kind of as a group talk about, okay, we've got a baby and we've got a mom, and what are our options, and how do we move forward so that we get the best outcome for both?
I feel like now is a good time to pause and sort of relieve the anxiety that maybe we've just created for everyone who's listening. Because pregnancy, by and large, is a very healthy sort of natural thing to do. So let's talk about what goes right and how much, you know, you and I both have kids, but our kids are a little older. How much more do we know than we even knew when you and I were having our children more than a decade ago?
Yeah, no, I think we learn more and more about maternal nutrition and moms eating healthy and exercising and staying active during pregnancy, how that can really help lead to a good outcome. I think we learn about even good nutrition leading up to the pregnancy so that you've got good stores for pregnancy. We've learned a lot more about which medications are safe and aren't safe during pregnancy. And then the delivery process, I think, always kinds to change and ebb and flow from high intensity to low intensity, low intervention births, et cetera. So there's always changes. And I would say, yes, 99% of the time, pregnancies go extremely well and are just a wonderful thing to witness and a beautiful thing to be a part of.
What do we know now that we didn't know even a few years ago about mental health in pregnancy and sort of taking care of women from, you know, a stress point of view?
We've certainly done a much better job of understanding depression and anxiety after delivery and that postpartum depression. And we all know those stories that have made the news of undiagnosed or untreated depression postpartum after delivery. So we've done a really great job of starting to screen women at the start of pregnancy. So, and understanding where they're at the beginning of the pregnancy and at various points throughout, so that we can notice if there's been a change in how they're feeling in terms of anxiety or depression immediately after, even screening when they go to their pediatrician for a routine well baby check. We can screen the moms then to say, how's it going? So it doesn't have to be a touch point with their doctor. It could be a touch point with their kid's doctor that we could still screen and look for it. And I think just a lot of good understanding of the medications for treating depression, anxiety, and how safe they are in pregnancy. I think a lot of people used to say, better not to be on anything, and we've realized that that leaves the woman not adequately treated, and we're getting much more comfortable with using those medications in pregnancy and during breastfeeding so that those women can feel a lot better.
Some of those conversations, whether it's, you know, perhaps you should consider this medication to, you know, perhaps you really need to be on bed rest. Women have access to so much information as they look at news stories and hear from grandma and, you know, an aunt who has an idea of what and read books at the bookstore or the library. Talk a little bit, if you would, about the relationship and the importance of a relationship between a pregnant woman and her physician so she can ask some of those difficult questions, but also sort of find, you know, a partnership that works for everyone.
Yeah, and that's so important. What we tend to start thinking about now with a physician and a relationship with a patient is kind of co-developing care. So it's not just a physician telling the patient what to do, but really trying to understand where is that patient coming from culturally, socially. You know, what comes into bear for that patient, and kind of co-creating a plan that makes sense for them. It is overwhelming. You can hear 10 different stories or 10 different opinions from 10 different people about what you should be doing during your pregnancy. But I think at the end of the day, a lot of the advice out there is generic or are non-necessarily specific to you individually. The more your physician knows you, the more that care provider knows you, the more they can understand what's going to work best for you. So really being open and honest with them and sharing what your situation is, then they can use the knowledge that they have about the different things and what evidence is there or isn't available, and then make the best decision of what's going to make the most sense for you. And then you've got to weigh that and talk about it and think about it and do what feels best for you, because ultimately you're going to do the best when you've helped create what that plan is. You're going to have the best outcome.
Talk a little bit about, as Sanford's chief medical officer, and maybe we can expand the conversation if you like,
sure. To,
you know, as we look into the new year and the direction that Sanford is taking, what are some of your priorities? What are you looking forward to at this point?
Well, you know, I am an OBGYN, so I would say as it relates to OBGYN, kind of thinking a bigger picture, we're really starting to look at how do we make sure that women across our entire footprint get the same standard of care wherever they go. And there's been a lot around maternal mortality and really doing these kind of standard ways to do care and screen women so that we're finding out if there's a potential for risk during delivery. And I think if we can really up our game there. We're doing very well as it is, but if we can be even more rigorous and really go to all the corners of where we're working and up our game there, I think we can have a lot even more healthier deliveries. So that would be one thing. And I think that can apply to a lot of other specialties as well. We have groups of physicians that are getting together and looking at their data and looking at outcomes and always seeking to improve and continue to get better. So when you have physicians at the table that are thinking about their patients and what their patients might need, it really helps us to become the best we can when they say, you know, we could get even better if we could offer this service or if we could standardize how we do this. So that's a lot of what Sanford is doing right now in terms of care delivery for patients.
There were some studies that came out earlier this year and some news stories that I had forgotten until you said the words maternal mortality about how high those numbers actually still are. And, you know, if you different ways of talking about, oh, it'd be like an airplane full of women crashing every so often. I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, but I remember being surprised by them and wondering why that was still a thing in 2018 as much as it is. Is that about access to services? What's going on there?
You know, it can be about access to services in some rural communities that maybe stop providing that OB coverage. We haven't found that in our regions and our populations that we serve here at Sanford, but certainly across the country that can be contributing to it, that access to prenatal care. I think there's so many things that weigh into it. I think one of the things that we're looking at is once someone does come into our facility, how can we make sure that they get the best care possible and that we're identifying those that are at risk, anticipating those risks, and treating them. I think that's sometimes, if you don't anticipate and plan for worst-case scenarios, you can get caught off guard, and then once you get behind, it's very hard to catch back up. So I think that's what we're focusing our energies on, is making sure that we're really anticipating any of those issues, being overly prepared, and then if we don't need those services, that's great, but we're ready for those emergencies if they do come up.
In our remaining minutes, I'm wondering if you would tell us a little bit how about your journey to, you know, why OBGYN? Why did you choose this field?
Yeah.
What about it appeals to you?
You know, I was going to be a pediatrician forever, and then I did that rotation, and I realized I loved kids, but it was really heartbreaking to take care of sick kids, so I didn't have it in me to do that. And then after my pediatrics rotation, I did my OB rotation, and I realized that I loved taking care of women. And women at this stage, and seeing how strong and resilient and powerful they can be, was a real privilege. And I liked procedures. I liked being in the operating room, so performing C-sections. I also loved. And, you know, it's just a natural, healthy process. And I know we've talked a lot about complications, but it truly is a natural bodily function. Women are made to do this. And I was just there to kind of help them along the way. So it was wonderful. I always had great teams of nurses helping with those deliveries. And it is 99% of the time just a really wonderful experience.
Advice for young doctors who are just entering the medical field now or kind of in that med school stage, what do you wish you could have told yourself back during those days?
You know, I think stay true to yourself. Always know, listen to your heart. What is it that you love to do? And go after that. It's easy to think about the quality of life or the finances, but if you really are doing what you love, it will be a career and a calling and not just a job. So I think just go for what you love.